And welcome to the Oxygen Addict Triathlon Podcast. We're brought to you every week by our sponsors, tgstore.co.uk.
The home of Gore Bikewear, Gore Running Wear and Aquasphere wetsuits. You can get 10% off with the code OXYGENADDICT10. And you can win a Gore Bike or a Gore Run Jacket at tgstore.co.uk/OXYGENADDICT.
We're also brought to you by precisionhydration.com.
Leaders in triathlete sweat testing and hydration with multi-strength electrolytes that match how you sweat. You can get 15% off with the code OXYGENADDICT15, and we will have details of a competition to win a personalised hydration bundle later on in the podcast.
Awesome. And team.oxygenaddict.com.
Event-specific training plans, coaching guidance from Coach Rob Wilby.
Hello, that's me.
He's back, and supportive teammates in a private Facebook group.
Wonderful stuff, and welcome to the show, the week of July the 17th. It's been a great weekend of racing, especially here in the UK, with Ironman UK happening this weekend. It's lovely to be back, Hels. Thank you for holding the fort in my absence last week.
It's all right, Rob.
I've heard stories that you have been selected as Britain's representative at the World Ironman Cheering Championships after your performance in Bolton this weekend. This is true?
This is true, yeah. I lost my voice slightly. I was going a little bit mental. Someone next to me...
I don't know if you know this, but your better half Rich sent me a text that said, you'll be doing this alone this week, mate. Helen literally can't talk.
I was going mad, honestly. I said to the woman next to me, I said, oh, I'm really sorry if I'm embarrassing you. And she's like, oh, no, don't worry about it. And then, 2 minutes later, the woman on the other side of me said, you are absolutely the best supporter here. I was like, I'll take that. She said, you're so enthusiastic. And then I thought, well, you know, but I guess I know what it's like on the other side. And when you do have a mentalist cheering you on who you don't even know, it's great. So I was screaming for, I saw a couple of Team Oxygen Addict guys run past.
We had a few running around in the old natty tri-suits, didn't we?
Yeah, so I was yelling at them. And then, you know, I'd just spot things like Mersey Tri. So I'd go on, Mersey Tri! Mersey Tri, you're looking amazing! Kind of thing.
So if you've had a big cheer on from Helen during Ironman UK this week, you have to buy a copy of her book when it comes out later than this year. That's the deal, Hels.
Correct, that is the deal. And it's all for
cheers,
charity.
Cheers for sales. That's the deal.
Cheers for sales. And then, I must admit, Rob, I did feel a bit of a tit because I was there in my Nuts for Tri Club top. That didn't make me feel the tit. Proud to wear that one. But I went, as you'll hear in a bit, I went to the finish area to get some post-race interviews. And at some point I had my coat on, but then in the sun it was really hot. So then I had to like take my coat off, and I'm thinking, I'm standing here in amongst, you know, the sort of press area with the mayor there. I shouldn't really be in my kit. I should probably be a little bit more
nice
in, I don't know, in your civvies sort of thing.
But we'll have to get you. I'll have to get you an Oxygen Addict Triathlon Podcast T-shirt for next time with the podcasting plastered across. Let's get that done. Let's get T-shirts made.
Correct. That would look far better. I'm very proud of my Knutsford Tri Club cycling top, but I almost needed two tops.
Yeah, you need to change outfits, don't you, depending on who you're cheering on.
Correct. So yeah, it was. Rob, we really will come onto the results in the morning. I mean, in a moment. But this is the point. My mind is mental because in the morning on Sunday, we ran the inaugural Canute Kids Duathlon. So we organised a race for children.
I saw that on Facebook. The pictures looked amazing, mate.
We had over 120
wow
primary school children, a lot of them doing their first duathlon. And it was all in the space of a sports club. So, you know, it wasn't off-road at all. It was on grass. And it was amazing. They were so inspiring and it was really cool. And it was a bit like planning a wedding in that you worry about it and you plan so many little details and you have sleepless nights and halfway through you think, should we not just go and, you know, run off and get married? It'll be far easier. but it was all worthwhile. It was really good and we got lots of feedback. So I think we will be doing another Canute Kids Duathlon, hopefully.
And is the plan to have an adults duathlon as well next year? Do I remember that correctly? You're thinking of opening up to the adults as well?
Yeah, April we're going to have a Canute Duathlon.
Awesome. So if
So.
you are a triathlete in the northwest area, you can get down to that. And more importantly, if you've got kids and you want to get them involved, get them down to it as well. Let's get more kids into the sport, hey?
Yeah, it was great. So we went from Knutsford all the way then up to Bolton in the afternoon to go and do cheering duty. So it was just a crazy, crazy day. So
Love
there
it.
we go. Shall we whiz through the results, Rob? Because then we'll hear
Yeah.
some of the audio.
Let's go through the results and then we can play the audio that you got down at the finish line, can't we?
Yeah, perfect. Okay, so again, we've got to start with Lucy Gossage. It was her fourth win at Ironman UK. She was looking brilliant on the run, so she took the win in 9:39:48 ahead of Diana Riesler of Germany, second in 9:41:56, and then Nikki Bartlett was third in 9:59. And I should give a shout out as well to the first age grouper, who was Sophie Bubb with a brilliant time of 10:44. She's in the 35 to 39 category. Over on the men's
Fantastic,
side, Rob, it was won by Cyril Vienneau of France in 8:41 ahead of Will Clark, who ran himself into second in 8:47. And then I think last year's winner, wasn't it, Kirill Kostogarov of Estonia, 8:48. And then, Rob, you can give the massive shout out to number four.
Yes, fourth place, first age group overall, our friend Brian Fogarty, who was on the show just a few weeks ago talking about how he was focused on a performance at Ironman UK. And I tell you what, it doesn't get much better, does it, than fourth place overall as an age grouper. He's still in the male 30 to 34 category, and he was only, I'm looking at the numbers there, what, 4 minutes away from third place overall from last year's winner. So, Brian, full-time job. Hats off to you, mate. That's absolutely amazing. Well done, pal. It's great to see all that hard work paying off.
Yeah, and I grabbed a word with him at the end. So why don't we hear now from some of the audio that I got on the day? Please, can I just apologise? Just don't ever stand with a recorder right by a loudspeaker. So Will Clark and Cyril Vianneau, I'm sorry, the audio is not the best quality, but bear with it, and hopefully you will get the gist of it and listen through, because then you get Lucy Gossage and Nikki Bartlett and Brian Fogarty too. So yeah, here we go. Have a listen. Here is the audio from Ironman UK. So I'm near the finish line and I'm with Romain Guillaume, but Romain, the race hasn't finished yet. I don't want to see you here.
I'm just here. Honestly, I don't want to see the finish, but I want to see my friends racing. So Cyril Vianneau, it's a good friend. He's currently leading. There is Will Clark, good friends, teammate. So I came for them.
So explain what happened to you.
I felt very good today. I was, I had a good swim. I was leading the bike, and then at the around 60k or 60 something, it was not clearly marked where to go on the small road. It was a T section, and I thought it was right, so I started to go a little bit right, and then finally it was left. So I changed my route at the last moment, and my front wheel
Slipped out.
Slipped, and I fell off. And I tried to continue for 20k, 15-20k. But my elbow, I have some scratch on my elbow, and the pain, I couldn't go in aero position because my elbow was, and my hip also, I have hematoma, and it was painful. And at this time, during the race, in my mind, it was not good to continue, because I was struggling with this pain. And also I had 100 more kilometers on the bike and a marathon then. So it's a shame, because the gap are huge now, and I need a top three for Hawaii. And so I'm quite disappointed, but that happened. It's again bad luck for me. And,
yeah, because it's not the first time here that you've had bad luck, is it?
Yeah, I came 2011. And I fell off, but it was not bad. So I continued and I finished second. And last year I was leading by 12 minutes, but I had stomach problem. And then I had to stop, did 12 kilometers on the run, because it was I couldn't run. And this year I felt very good, no stomach problem. I had also a stomach problem in Lanzarote 2 months ago. And now I have new diet, new nutrition plan, new things. And it was not nutrition, I was not feeling bad. I was feeling super good. I had good nutrition, but just I fell. So it's
Damn it. And I guess that is part of professional racing, isn't it? That
yeah.
Some days you have a great race, other days something happens.
Yeah. It's tough because for the last 2 years it's always external things that make me not good. And last year I wasn't good at all. I had personal problem beside, and then I went here, I felt super good physically, but I had stomach problem. And then I went to Mont-Tremblant, I was kind of depressed, and I had to drop out. And this year I say, okay, this is my year. I had a good beginning of the year with the victory in South Africa, 70.3, and two other victory. I came to Ironman Lanzarote, I had stomach problem, so for I was not able to ride really good. And here I felt good, but that's this happened. It's not super good, but this life.
So does this mean then that Kona is off for 2017?
Yeah. It's not official, but now last year I struggled a lot to chasing Kona, and I don't want to race. I don't want to race another Ironman in 1 month. To be potentially qualified for next year, because if I have any problem in 1 month, it's, or if I do a good race but third place and I need top two to go to Kona. Allez Kirill, allez! And I need top two to go to Kona. I'm not in Kona and I have no points for next year. So right now I'm pretty sure that I won't chase Kona for this year. And there's 3 races I want to race: Ambraman, Wales, and also Ironman Louisville. I won't be able to race all 3, and I will have to choose one
come
or
to
two.
Wales.
So
come to Wales.
We will see. Yeah. So probably Wales.
Right now we can see.
My friends,
this is Will Clark coming. Yeah, so we'll carry on and we can watch and cheer.
Yeah.
While Will comes around. What do you reckon? He's looking.
Come
quite,
on, Will.
He's looking quite smooth, though. He's
a super strong runner.
Yeah.
And he got a penalty on the bike, I don't know why.
Yeah.
But he's very good.
So he's probably, I'd say 10 minutes down at the moment?
Yeah,
maybe?
It's... For the first.
10, 12.
Yeah, and for the second?
Yeah, it's 1.5.
Yeah, 1.5 for second place.
Okay.
So he can do it, he's still super
good. Yeah, he's
runner.
Looking really smooth at the moment. So we're just going to watch Will come past, and then we'll ask a couple more questions. But
Kirill runs good also.
Yeah.
Will start always quite fast.
Allez, allez, hop!
Yeah. Allez, Will!
Go, Will! Go,
Will starts super fast all the time, but then he continues quite fast. And Kirill, I don't know how he is, but I'm sure that Will can catch him, because Will is an incredible runner. He runs 2:42 all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe not here because it's super hilly, super difficult, but he's one of the most talented guys here on the run. He's amazing.
And what is it about Bolton that attracted you to come here? Like, why did you think, Ironman UK?
I like the tough course, and because I'm a small guy, I like the climb. And I don't like when it's flat and we are 50, 70 people, and with some group. I like to go on my own on the bike to lead the race. And it's fun to come here, and I choose Lanzarote because I can do it in Lanzarote. It's tough ride here also. Wells, I choose the hilly race.
I have a dog licking me. I think you'd love Wales as well. I really do.
I've heard that it's even more difficult than Lanzarote. So
and the crowds are spectacular.
I've heard this. Yeah. So I saw picture.
I'll show you. Once I've pressed stop, I'll show you on my phone. We'll get you in Wales. This will be great. Well, Romain, thank you so much for your time. And I'm really sorry it didn't work out today.
Yeah, it's... I'm disappointing, but it's life.
Everyone, actually, one more question. So we're here and we've got, about another hour and a bit until the finish?
Yes,
10K. 10K, okay. But at the moment, there aren't many crowds.
No.
Right? What's it like as a professional athlete at this point of the race when there aren't that many crowds, and it must be quite difficult sometimes?
Yeah, it's quite difficult sometimes, but you know, here, for example, for Will's family is here, he has friends, and Kirill the same, he has friends. Cyril, we are here, the Cyril's girlfriend is on the climbing now, and it's good to have crowd, but also it's good to have people who know and who have just the look or one sign, something to share with people, just to, and friends or family, it's always good. And even if it's not that much people for the moment, I'm sure that my friends likes that their friends are here, the family is here, and then we don't maybe need 10,000 people cheering for us. Just
we do as age group.
Yeah. But because we have to be focused on the race, because there's lots of pressure, you know, for a sponsor, for a race, for Kona, for the points, for everything. And it's always good to have people cheering for us. It's sure. But it's even better to have family or friends. Yeah.
Right. Well, Romain, thank you, and we'll see you in Tembi.
Yeah, I hope.
Well, massive congratulations! Second place, Ironman UK.
Yeah, thanks. I'm really happy. It's it was a real build up and down, day. I mean, I swam well. I biked all right, but I picked up a penalty.
Do you know what that was for?
Yeah, they pinged me for drafting. It was a bit harsh to actually, he wasn't even with us. I soon realised the course isn't really for me. Cyril was too strong for me on the bike. I was already riding too hard on the bike.
It is. For people that haven't done it, I mean, it is a tough course.
It's a really tough course, and it's bloody long. And the run's long. I mean, I don't need to do any more kilometres, I just don't, especially on this course, it's horrendous. But on the run I felt crap, but I was running well.
You look good.
And then I had a few walking episodes, and I walked some aid stations, and I kind of gave up on catching crew. I was holding him for the whole race at the same distance, and I couldn't close him. And then in the last, I realised I was feeling better on the downhills, and a lot better on the downhills than the uphills. I think my run pedigree came out in the last group of days. It was downhill, crew was 13, and I just used my leg turnover and my technique to just smash him. And I smashed him as hard as I could when I went past him, as hard as possible. And then after a K or so, he gave up and let me take a second. So I'm really happy. I mean, I think it's a good outcome for the day.
For you, this was one of the big targets of the year, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I really wanted to win it, but it just wasn't. I mean, I wasn't strong enough, so.
So, Kona next?
Yeah, Kona next. Now I have a good result, I won't race anymore. I'll race the tune-up for Kona, that's it.
Cyril, winner of Ironman UK, congratulations!
Thank you very much.
How was it out there?
It was a perfect day for me, you know. One of my fastest swim in my career. After that, I was able to push hard on the pedals and to catch the lead quite quickly after 50Ks. And my friend Romain was leading the race, so I thought we could spend a very good time on the bike because he's a strong biker. I can be too, so I thought, it will be good. Finally, 10Ks after, he fell, so I was alone. So it was long, very, very long on the bike, but I had good sensations, so I had to try to push hard. And on the marathon race, I did Frankfurt last week, so I had quite good sensations during 25Ks. After, it was harder and harder, and the last 10Ks was very horrible.
How were your legs?
I won't be able to walk during 1 week, I think, but it's holiday time now, so it's okay.
So I guess now Kona in the bag, Kona qualification?
Yeah, Kona for sure. I have many points now. I had to finish in the top four to have a chance to qualify, so the win, it's just perfect.
Brian, oh my God, well done.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, thank you. Met up with that, absolutely met up.
So that was fourth overall over that line of the blokes at Ironman UK.
What can I say? I'm lost for words. It was, I had an ambition to come top five. I really believe, depending on who turned up, I thought there's a chance. If I had my best race, I knew I were biking well. And it just went well. I really don't think I could have, not often you can say that, but I don't think I could have got any more out of my body on the day, which is quite rare, as you know, Ellen. It's, doesn't happen that often, so I was just absolutely met up, and it was a tough day as well. It got quite hot in the second part of the run.
So last year, right, you can correct me if I was wrong, were you ninth overall last year?
Seventh.
Okay, so that's bad for me. Right. So what have you done over the past year to make up those, you know,
people? Just consistent training, as I said to Rob when I was on the podcast. I've just not stopped. I had a chance to go away early this year with Joe Skipper and spent some time out with Joe, which was massive.
Oh, the crazy one.
Yeah, well, he knows his stuff with Joe, and he's helped me massively. And that just set me up nicely for the year. It was a new experience, it was doing something that, and it put me onto another level. That's what I was hoping it would do, and it's like it doesn't happen straight away, but in time it just comes good, and it's like day after day after day of work, and then you put it on the big day and it comes together, and it's just such a good feeling. I'm top of the world.
I'm loving it, right, because obviously I'm standing here, right, and you are buzzing. You've got a Mackie D's. Have you got a milkshake in there?
A Mackie Donald's milkshake, yeah.
Loving that.
Pre-race recovery.
You've got a smile slapped across your face, quite rightly.
I've saw the support. I've seen it build up over the last 4 years, this race. And the support from, I mean, I'm probably the most local.
I was going to say, how much time did you take?
It just felt like the whole Batman was here supporting me, and I can't thank them all enough. Every single one of them, and yourself, cheering on up and down the course, just constantly cheering me. It just gives you that lift. When there's always everyone, I had a tough period. And I just kept digging in. And you know, it's the last lap, you can just get that extra ounce out of you, can't you? You just do, don't you? And I just managed to hold it together and just kept it together.
Now, I know Rob did ask you that question, which you're always going to be blooming asked about. Oh, so are you going to go pro? And you said you really did want to make it happen.
I did. And I'm always a massive believer. You know, you've got to get the results, and then you can let things hopefully take care of themselves. Obviously, you know, you need financial support a little bit to do that, and I want to go pro, don't get me wrong, I'd love to give it a crack, but I don't want to, unless I can have the time to train as well, it really doesn't make much sense in any, you know what I mean?
But is this giving you the actual, yeah, you know what, that's fine, I could belong?
Yeah, that's it, and it's a confidence thing, and like, when I'm beating some good, I'm really pleased with beating some really good lads, you know, top like, people have won the race, and I'm you know, so yeah, I've got to believe now that if I can, you know, work things right, I can get the extra hours to put in. I can hopefully make that step and just. So obviously, there's a lot to come off the swim, but it's just time in the water, and I just don't have it. You know, Helen, getting the time to train, it's a balancing act, isn't it? We work and life, family life, and but yeah, that's just. Hopefully give me the nudge I need to maybe to step up.
And Kona next?
Yeah, Kona next. Hopefully I can put in a better performance than I've done in previous years there. And it's not been the form so much out there. I've just had issues to go on. And you know, again, this is why it's so good to get the race and actually execute it how you want, because it's never a given in Ironman. There's always something that usually goes wrong, and it's just how bad it goes wrong, isn't it, sometimes, just managing it. So hopefully this year I can put a good solid race in, and that again just give me the confidence to really push on and have a right good goal win in my age group, because I believe I can. And there's both, I've been a fifth time in a row, so I've no excuses for not knowing what to expect, you know, because I know people say, you know, you never go out there a first time and do well, but a fifth time now, so I have to put it right. I have to have a solid race, otherwise I'll be gutted.
Winner, Ironman UK. That's I think I've said that before, Lucy.
This is my hardest fought one, I've got to say.
There was a little point on the run whereby I think you would have been going for probably the third lap.
Yeah.
And Diana looked to be running really well as well, and I was thinking, oh, that could be quite close.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking as well. Yeah, it was a bit of a suffer fest, that one.
It never gets any easier though, does it?
I don't know. I had to change bikes, and I think that is a different position. I think everything was just, my back was, it's a lot lower, the bike that I was riding, and everything was, yeah, I didn't feel good on that run at all. And I kind of thought Diana would blow, but she clearly didn't, and in fact I was blowing, so I was very glad to get to the finish line.
And how does this compare this year compared to other years? You know, you've gone back to work this year. Does it make it a little bit more special, or is that just irrelevant? It's another win at Ironman UK, you know?
Do you know, I've had some easy wins here, and actually it's nice to be in a race and have to fight for it, because that's what it's about. And it's all very, you know, it's all very well prancing around at the front, you know, with 15-minute lead. But actually, when you have to fight for it, I think you feel, I certainly feel prouder. And I definitely had to fight and grit. And you know, the guys at work, they were like, you won't win it now, will you? I was like, come on, I'm getting in it to win it. So my bosses can take one, because they didn't think I'd have a fighting chance. So,
well, I saw you last weekend, and you were looking in very good shape last weekend. So you didn't go OTT at Long Course Wales.
Well, maybe, I don't know, who knows, but doesn't matter, I got the win. It doesn't matter whether you win by 10 seconds or 20 minutes, does it? It's the support was amazing. I was acknowledging it all, but I was just trying to concentrate and keep myself together. But coming through the town, like,
free lap, 3 miles.
Yeah, it didn't feel free, but it was deafening, the noise. It's just,
do you think
amazing.
It's got louder over the years?
Yeah, and I don't know whether it's just the more people know me or whether the support has got better, but for me, certainly, it's immense. It's just, yeah, shivers down your spine, kind of. Yeah, it's pretty special.
Do you think you would want to come back again next year?
How do I stop? I have to stop at some point, but how do I stop?
Nikki Bartlett, congratulations, third place, Ironman UK. Oh my goodness, you've got a smile on your face.
No, I do. Yeah, it was tough out there. Like, I just gave everything I could on the day, and yeah, that's where I am. Hopefully, that's qualified me for Kona.
Do you know what you did? What did you need here to get the big queue?
A third, top three, I think. But I might have to sit and wait for a bit and see what everyone else is racing this month. So the first cut off in a couple of weeks. But yeah, two very classy athletes to race against. But yeah, no, I'm pleased. I couldn't do anything else today. Like, that was everything I had on the day. So yeah, you can't complain about that, can you? And the crowds are amazing. Like, especially on that run course. Like, oh my god. Like, just people shouting your name. Like, and like, I like my number's like half hanging off. So like, people just generally know who is us. It's very sweet. And then especially people who actually race and shout on your name. It's like a legend. And all I have, and it's just like a thumbs up. It's excellent, but. Yeah, no, really pleased.
You've done amazingly. Yeah. On the run, I think the first lap I saw you kind of engaged slightly. The second lap, that was game face.
Oh my god, that was almost felt like it was game over. I was struggling, I really struggled through that run. To be honest, with about 30, 40k to go on the bike, I was really struggling. Had the aero things like the top. Anyways, what my garments attached to, my water bottles attached to, absolutely flew off when I came out of T1. So I had to stop, put it on, and it came off again. Stopped, put it on, it came off again. So I was like holding it in my hand, and I was like, but I need this for my water bottle. So I didn't know what to do. So I was just, like, holding it on my TT bar. I was like, it's a nightmare. So the day started. Like, it didn't start up.
So then did you lose some nutrition?
Yeah, I lost the water bottle. You're in the middle, don't you? Pretty much like most of my nutrition, which I was going to take on. Then on this. I had a couple of gels and I was relying on. It was just the fact that I was like holding on to it for the whole ride, and then I actually had to take my garment off and put it in my back pouch because it was weighing it down and it kept flying off again. And I was like, oh my god, this is not happening. Yeah, but yeah, so I'm proud of the bike put together, and then I knew coming off the bike I was like in a place where I didn't know where I was going to do on the run, and that course is so hard. It's like exactly like Wales, you're up or you're down, and the downs you can't really appreciate because it's
because your legs are killing.
Yeah. It's like there's points I was like, well, those points I was definitely walking. I walked through all the aid stages to make sure I was nutritional. I was like I know at some point I could easily not finish this, so I had to really make sure I walked through the aid stations and sit at the crowd. Like, they got me around. It's like, no way I would have done that.
It's amazing. Well, honestly, Nikki, because rewind a couple of years,
and
now here you are, third pro, Ironman UK. Can't complain.
Yeah, no, I'm really pleased. Six years ago I did this in age grouper and I came across nine and I was like, never again. And I'm not actually sure when you get to the point in the Ironman when you don't say that. Because like, when I got off the bike, I was like, what am I doing? So it is mental, like, running a marathon. I just can't get my head around it yet. I'm already thinking about, yes, I'm going to Kona, even though in it I was like, nah, I don't think I want to go to Kona anymore. But yeah, no, I've got to wait to see if I've definitely got in. I don't want to say I have before. But I'm pretty confident that should have me qualified.
Rob, don't you love it there at the end? Nikki,
top, I think, stuff.
Well, Nikki clearly slightly doolally still at the finish line. Finish line interviews are always a little bit strange, and just that disbelief of what the heck is even... Why do we do this, Ironman? This is just mental.
Yeah. And to go under 10 hours on that course as well, that's a really, really solid result, isn't it? And she was our first ever interview, wasn't she? On the first ever show.
Yeah.
Just goes to show, doesn't it? From little acorns, big oaks grow. Well done, Nikki. We're very proud of you.
Correct. And I think, Rob, in there, I think that, or I might have read maybe a tweet from her more recently saying that she reckons she might have just missed that initial Kona cutoff, but hopefully she'll be able to make the second cutoff. So I guess it's a case of watch this space for Nikki and Kona.
Yeah, cool. Cool beans. Well done.
So, elsewhere, Rob, we had the World Triathlon Series in Hamburg, didn't we?
We did. Over in Hamburg, we had wins for Mario Moller and another one for Flora Duffy in Hamburg. So, she's just on fire, isn't she?
Yeah. Yep, she is.
Totally, untouchable.
Totally the one to beat.
It's often the way just after that Olympic cycle finishes, doesn't it, where she didn't quite have the result that she hoped for. Who was it who tipped her to win?
So it was
Beck Keat.
Oh, yes, it was Beck Keat. Sorry, I thought you said who won, and I was like, oh, it was Gwen. Gwen and then Nicola.
No, but Vicky. Just before it, we had Beck Keat tweeted us and said she's one to watch, and her amazing streak started just after it, didn't it? So... amazing performance from her. And then there's also the mixed relays going on as well.
Which is going to be it's going to be in the Olympics, isn't it, in Tokyo in 2020, which is really, really cool because it's such an exciting format of racing. And even some triathlons, you know, there are more sort of mixed relay options as well, which are great. I know a gang from our tri club went and did it recently, so it's not just for the pros that can do it. So GB got fourth in the mixed relay. I think there's a little bit of chaos in T2.
Yeah, and I think there's only a handful of seconds in it as well, if I remember the results. I was looking at it and going, oh, it was like 10 seconds or something between fourth and third, and a few more seconds between third and second. So it's going to make for a really exciting sport for people, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of the Olympic sports are, you know, they're trying to bring in mixed gender sports or mixed gender events, and just almost to shake things up slightly to really appeal to different audiences.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's cool.
Looking forward to seeing it. And it could be another gold medal, couldn't it, for Mr. Brownlee? Imagine that. He could get 2 at 1 Olympics.
Yeah, exactly. He could do a Usain Bolt, couldn't he?
Yes, indeedly doodly.
There we go. And then, Rob, one more race which we were just going to mention briefly was 70.3 Racine, wasn't it? Where the swim was cancelled, Rob, because the water was... You've been in the States recently. What's 50 Fahrenheit in English?
I was trying to do the maths on this. I think... it's not very warm. I think it's about 10 or 11 degrees.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you now. 32 and divide it by 2.
Well, so... I'm not going to do that. It is 10 degrees, correct.
Is it? That's not a bad guess for me, is it? Where I was in the States, it was a lot warmer than that. I swim every day without a wetsuit on, so, but 10 degrees is kind of, it's colder even than Slate Man, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, that is quite cold, actually.
Yeah.
Because I thought, oh, maybe they were just being wussy, but no, 10 degrees is biting.
Yeah. Chilly. So we had, was it Holly Lawrence won the ladies and Sam Appleton on the men's side for that one?
Yep, correct.
Done in a kind of team time trial type event. So yep. I always thought it'd be interesting to go and watch one of those play out, because you've got like, there's only 30 seconds between each person on the road as they set off. And so you'd be able to see them in front of you, wouldn't you? So an interesting dynamic, that.
Yeah, it would be good to watch that, wouldn't it? Yeah, Holly Lawrence got the win in 3:39, Jodie Robertson second, 3:40, Alyssa Duella of USA 3:42, and then Appleton took the win in 3:10 ahead of Tim Reed and Joe Gambles.
Jolly good stuff. All right, nice one. So we should have mentioned that our results section was sponsored by tgstore.co.uk, shouldn't we?
we should have done, Rob. I had my jacket on the other day, went and did a little run in the evening, and kept me nice and warm.
Did it keep you warm and dry?
It did keep me warm and dry in the northwest drizzle, and the other morning actually for the kids race it was perfect. It was
the jacket just keeps on giving, doesn't it?
The old Gore-Tex jacket is.
I had mine with me on holiday in America when we had thunderstorms and it booted it down one day, and everyone was complimenting me on my nice Gore bike wear jacket. So I was feeling very swish wearing it. It's new enough that it doesn't stink yet. That's the thing. So get yourself over to tgstore.co.uk, check that out. You can get 10% off any purchases of the full price stuff with the code auction, I think 10, and you can win a Gore bike or a Gore run jacket at tgstore.co.uk/oxygenaddict. Get your email address in for the draw, and it's as simple as that. So go and check them out and support the people who support the show.
Brilliant. Now, Rob, we had a question through for Coach's Couch this week, but I love it because it is an audio message. So let's hear.
Yes, somebody's used that little gizmo that took me ages to install on the website. Good on you, Ben Hawley. Thanks, mate. More of this.
So if you want to send an audio question, we'll hear Ben's in a tick. Just go to oxygenaddict.com/podcast, and there's a little widget on the right-hand side, and you press the button and you can record a question and it comes through automatically, which is great, and it means that we hear different voices. So here we go. Here is this week's question for Coach's Couch.
Hello, Rob. It's Ben from Stockport. I did my first 70.3 in June, and I'm hoping to do the Outlaw in July next year. So that's a good 11 months away, and most training plans seem to be 6 months. So I'm kind of wondering, what do I do for the next 5 months before I start my 6 month training plan? I'd like to put myself in a really good place before I start the training plan, but I'm at a little bit of a loose end as to what to do now. I like to have like a target, which is normally an event, but the event's in 11 months, so it's quite a long time to be training for that and nothing else. Have you got any suggestions as to how I could fill this time, please? Thanks.
All right, cracking question then. I think it's something that's coming to a lot of people's minds. There's going to be a lot of people who've done their 70.3 this year and want to step up and do their Ironman next year, and I'm wondering what they do in the meantime. So I've got a few pointers that I thought I'd go through. It's just my personal point of view. There's lots of different ways of coaching people, obviously, but this is the kind of approach that I take within the team and with the athletes that I work with. So the first thing I want to say is, after you've done your big 70.3 race of the year, make sure that you take a break. So because we're only in mid-July at the moment, the first thing I'd say is make use of all that fitness that you've got for the next couple of months. Get out there and just have fun in the summertime. Do some Olympics and some sprints just for fun and make use of that fitness that you've worked so hard to build up. And then take a break. So usually around sort of mid-September, beginning of October time, I say to my athletes, look, take a complete break for 4 weeks. You can still do some stuff in terms of swimming, biking and running, but just don't consider it to be training. So if you keep yourself doing one or two sessions of each sport a week, just for the sheer fun of it, with no hard work, nothing structured, have that kind of total break. And even if you want a complete break from swimming, biking and running for 2 weeks, I think that's appropriate as well. So that'll give you a real chance to firstly refresh mentally. Secondly, if your body's got any niggles or injuries, you'll get those healed up and you'll get ready to go for the winter. Now I'm gonna make the assumption that the questions come for a kind of Northern Hemisphere type athlete. So we're going into November, December, January and February being our winter time. And the way I coach athletes is slightly different to the way a lot of people have done it, and a lot of people have done it in the past, where the traditional way is to say, right, we'll do a load of slow, long distance base training during the winter, and that's going to be the way that we build up for our Ironman during the summer the next year. I take the other approach and say, right, the thing that we can do in the winter is, we haven't got very much daylight time. We haven't probably got very much training time around working and seeing the family. So let's try and use the small amount of time that you have to get as fit as you can in the discipline that's going to make the most difference. And the thing that's going to make the most difference for Ironman racing is going to be your bike leg. So we're going to do some really structured interval work for two blocks of 8 weeks, sort of November, December, bit of a break over Christmas, January and February, doing two interval sessions a week aimed at raising your functional threshold power, and one longer ride at the weekend, which you can do outdoors if the weather's good enough, or you can do sort of 90 minutes indoors on a trainer. So you're still getting some kind of a longer distance stimulation there. And the overall effect of this is that when you get to the springtime and the weather improves and you go to ride outside, because your functional threshold is higher, you're producing more power for a given heart rate, you'll find you go faster for any kind of distance for the same effort that you're putting out. So you've made a real difference to one sport. I advise my athletes to really back off the swimming during the winter and concentrate their training time on the biking. So maybe drop down to just one swim a week and you'll find you can easily pick your swimming back up in the springtime. And because you're doing lots of hard work on the bike, we're not going to do any hard work on the run. We're just going to go out for a couple of easy or steady runs during the week and one longer run at the weekend. And your cardiovascular fitness will get taken care of by doing the bike intervals. You'll keep your ligaments and your tendons and your running muscles, if you like, in shape and injury free during the winter. So when you start picking up the pace or increasing the distance as you approach your goal event in the summer, you're going to find that you're not going to get injured, basically. So there's how I would set it out for you, mate. You're going to do hard intervals on the bike, drop the swimming right back, make your running really easy all the way through. Ben, if you've got any questions and you want more details, just fire an email to help@oxygenaddict.com. We'll happily go through that with you. And excuse me, anyone's got any questions, you can do the same thing. help@oxygenaddict.com is the way to go. And we'll be opening our team up in sort of early October for people who want to get fit the way we coach you during the winter time. So yeah, thanks for the question, man.
Rob, what about races and stuff? Because I think a lot of people, we're all a certain type of personality, aren't we? And we like having goals.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, what about the odd half marathon in winter? What about some of those open five adventure kind of things? Like, it's okay to carry on racing, isn't it, even though you have this big target of you know, a long distance.
Totally.
So far away.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's really important to mix that kind of stuff in. And the things that you've mentioned, if you do stuff for fun during the winter, it has the added benefit of getting you fit, but most importantly, it keeps that training fresh. So the thing you've mentioned about the open adventure races and just jumping into a random half marathon, that's one of the benefits of being fit for a 70.3 at the end of a season and staying fit through the winter. You can just jump into races like that for the fun of it. And I'm a big believer in just doing stuff that's fun in the off season, and then you can really focus for the sort of 16 weeks before your Ironman in the summer, knowing that you've got really fit and had some fun during the winter time as well.
Okay, brilliant. Rob, let's move on, because I know sadly today, basically, I've got to leg it to work shortly. Just when you were doing most of that answer, I was sitting here snaffling down toast and peanut butter and drinking a cup of tea like breakfast number two or three. It's been a mad morning. So the interview of the week this week is brought to you by Precision Hydration. Now, last week I mentioned that they were running a special competition because of celebrating Ironman UK, and it's to win a £100 personalised hydration bundle. So to enter, nice, you have to go via the link which is in our show notes. So if you go to oxygenaddict.com/podcast, in there there'll be a link to the Precision Hydration competition. So £100 personalised hydration bundle could be yours, and we will be announcing a winner next week. So check that out and get on that. In the meantime, Rob, this week's interview of the week is with Beth Potter, who was a 2016 Rio Olympian in the 10,000 metres. We've mentioned her a few times. She now lives with Johnny Brownlee and is training as a triathlete. So Johnny Brownlee is her landlord.
Nice.
But what's still
that's
pretty,
just so brilliant.
Well, the whole,
is there a better way to become a world-class triathlete?
The whole story is pretty amazing, because she is still very much a top track runner. She's a British champion, and as we chat in the interview, she will be competing in the 10,000 metres at the World Athletics Championships in a week or two in London. So she is brilliant. It's such a cool story, just the whole journey that she has been on and that she continues to go on. So here we go, this week's interview of the week.
Beth Potter, hello and welcome to the Oxygen Addict Triathlon Podcast. Thank you very much for your time.
No, thank you for having me. Hi everyone.
It's great to get you on, Beth, because I've definitely mentioned you a couple of times as being, oh, you know the one we've mentioned who's like, she's a track athlete but she's making that switch to triathlon. And we mentioned you in our results section recently as well, because you've had a couple of decent results in your first few triathlons. But for people who haven't really heard of you, other than me saying, oh, that, you know, that athlete, tell us a little bit about your background.
So I come from a track and field background. I went to the Olympics last summer in the 10K, and I've made senior teams since about 2013. And as a junior, I used to swim for our club back home in Glasgow, and it's always something I really wanted to try, triathlon, but it never really came up at the right opportunity. With Glasgow 2014 being a home games, I really wanted to qualify for that in athletics. And then having done so well there, I was, you know, wanting to try for the Olympics and made the team last year. So I think after Rio 2016, it was like a really good time. I know that sounds odd that I've made my, you know, the biggest sort of, you know, team as a senior athlete and I wanted to change sport. But for me, it's just something I really wanted to try. And in December, I quit my job and moved to Leeds.
And
the rest is history.
Yes. So did you do any sort of triathlon as a junior, or was it all swimming and running?
Yeah, so when I was a junior, I used to swim, and I think I stopped swimming competitively about 16, because then running was getting a little bit more serious and I was making teams for that and doing pretty well on the running side of things. But when I went to university, I just mainly focused on athletics, but was spent a lot of my time at Loughborough injured, and that's where the swimming kind of came in handy. So I'd spend a lot of time actually in the pool, you know, trying to keep fit by aqua jogging or doing a bit of swimming. But until January this year, I hadn't been in the pool for 7-8 years properly. So it's been a big change.
And how have you found it?
Yeah, okay. I think at the start I was okay, and so the training kept being piled on by the coaches, and I got to not breaking point, I wouldn't say, because I didn't have any, you know, injuries or anything, but I just got to a stage where I was just too tired. So we kind of just, it was a bit playing it by ear at the start, seeing like what was like what worked for me, and I think I've found something at the moment. Like what I'm doing just now that seems to be working. I'm not too tired, I'm still getting the most out of my sessions, but and still improving, but I suppose that's only going to go up when I get better and more comfortable at this level. So
and how has your training differed from, let's rewind, you know, vaguely 12 months, because it might have been a bit building to Rio, but let's say vaguely as a full-time track and field athlete to now focusing more on triathlon?
So when I was doing my just athletics, I was actually working a full-time job as well as a physics teacher. So I was having to fit my training in and around my job. So I would train in the morning and again in the evening. I'd have 3 sessions a week, so 3 10 to 12k sessions either on the grass or road, and then come summer it'd be more track specific, especially for the 10k, so longer type of reps on the track. So I'd do that. I'd run twice a day most days, obviously with gym twice a week as well. And now it's completely different. I run 6 times a week, so I have 1 day off running a week, and my mileage is 30 miles less than it was. And I've got obviously the bike and the swim in there now as well, so quite a big change.
So basically you've ditched the teaching to take on more swim, bike and run.
Yeah, so I'm not teaching anymore. Yeah, I am just full-time now, which is great, but I have tried to keep my hand in with a little bit of tutoring, so I still do a little bit of physics tutoring. So anyone who knows anyone that needs tutored in Yorkshire, give me a shout.
Do you miss that bit of sort of normal world life, as in do you miss having the job a bit, or are you just loving being a full-time athlete?
I get asked this question a lot, actually. Mm. And I don't actually miss teaching at the moment. I know that I feel quite sad saying that, but I don't miss teaching. I do miss my colleagues and just the sort of, like, you know, the social side of work. But I don't miss the job. No, I love training, and this is definitely for me.
It's brilliant to hear. And do you prefer training or racing?
I love racing, but it's good. And I'm looking forward to this next block where I've just got 5 solid weeks of just some hard training. But I will be looking, by the end of that block, I'll definitely be looking forward to an easy week and a race for sure.
So let's talk about the running specifically for a little bit, because you are going to be competing at the World Athletics Championships in a couple of weeks. So talk us through how you balanced doing the triathlon training and trying to qualify for that, because basically you are British champion, aren't you, at 10K?
Yeah. How did I manage it? Well, I find that I get quite injury prone if I don't stay on the track. So this is something my coach Mick Woods and I like kept in after I had a couple injuries back in 2013. So now we just stay on the track once a week just to get used to it, and you know, keep it there so it's, you're familiar with it when it comes round to March time and it's not a complete shock to the system. So staying on the track once a week just to do, you know, harder stuff, and then canal once a week. So I've dropped one session, but because I've replaced it with a whole load of bike and swimming, you're actually getting your aerobic benefit from that, and you're saving your legs a little bit, so you're a bit fresher come the session. But I've actually found that my track sessions have been the same, if not better, than I was doing last year, and I don't actually know why that is, but I think not having a job and having a lot of time for recovery and also doing a lot more aerobic stuff has some impact on that front. Yeah.
And when you went into the night of the 10,000 meter PBs, I guess you wouldn't go into it thinking, oh yeah, I want to come third. You would go into it knowing that, right, I'm capable of winning this.
It was an odd one, actually, because I hadn't been on the track since Rio. And so I'd been off the track for about 9 months. I'd only done one race, which wasn't amazing. I'd finished second at my nationals. Like, I was hoping to win it, but I didn't feel great. And I just had a couple of niggly foot problems. So I really wasn't sure. Like, I knew my training was going well, and I knew that I had a real good chance of winning it. But at the same time, there's a lot of girls there who are very good, and I think it was wide open, really, because not a lot of them had posted time, so I don't think anyone knew where anyone else was at. So yeah, it was a funny one, but I just loved it. I went in there with no pressure and no expectations and just stress free, and I think that really helped me to take the win.
Love it. And what was your time?
32:04, so just a second outside my PB, but I've definitely got a PB in me this season, so hopefully the Worlds can get that.
And how did you feel when you knew that you had won and you had qualified and cemented your place on that team for the World Championships, which of course are going to be in London?
Yeah, it was odd because out of all the senior championships, the Worlds is the one I've not been to, and I was a little bit sad last year when I was like, right, I'm moving to triathlon. And, you know, I didn't think it was realistic at the time. So it's nice to make a World Champs team, especially in London. And London will have a great crowd. They always do. And it's in the Olympic Park, so it's going to be really special. But, yeah, it's just a great night. And, you know, Highgate is a great track to run at. And I just love the atmosphere. And it really helps performances come, because it's just everything about that place is just great.
Were you a bit surprised thinking, oh my god, like I haven't just been focusing on my running, I've been doing all this swimming and cycling, and yet I've only run, you know, 1 second outside my PB? That's mad.
Yeah, no, it was a very different situation to last year, because obviously I was the only one who had the time last year going into the trial, and I found that almost the pressure was on me to perform that night, and yeah, it was just with it being the Olympic trials as well, there's a lot more, I don't know, I feel like there's a lot more hanging on it, because, you know, the Olympics is what everyone wants to get to. And I found it really difficult last year. Even with the last mile, I was in second position at this time, and I knew there was people behind me coming quicker, and I had to hold on to that position. Whereas this year it was completely different, because there was no expectation going into the race. And with 2K to go, I was the one that pulled away. So, you know, there's always, when you're out front and you're running well and feeling good, yeah, the world is, you're on top of the world, it's great. But when you're in that second position and you're being hunted down, it's not such a nice feeling. So it was completely different this year, and I would say much more enjoyable. Yeah.
Brilliant. And being on that British athletics team, you know, at Rio, you've got so many incredible people that you can always learn from. You know, Joe Pavey would have been one of your teammates at Rio last year. What kind of things would you learn from her?
Oh, yeah, Joe's great to have on the team. And I've actually been, all my senior teams I've made, Joe has been the other 10K runner that's been on with me. So, you know, it's really good to having someone who's got so much experience. And, you know, she's been to 5 Olympic Games. She knows, you know, what the drill is. So it's great having someone there to ask questions and, you know, just ask for some advice. So, and Joe's great. She's just great, yeah.
Would you say she would be one of your inspirations, like the people you look up to?
Oh, definitely, yeah. She's just got so much experience, and she's just a real gutsy runner, and I just love that in people. I think that's what inspires me.
Then what about within the triathlon world? Who do you look up to in that?
Oh God, there's so many, especially in the group I'm in at the moment. Obviously the boys, Ali and Alistair and Johnny, and then even the girl group, it's great, like having Non in the squad as well. It's yeah, really good. And even like Jess and Lucy, they're all going really, really well at the moment. So it's something, you know, it inspires you every day at training. It's great to have them alongside me. So
that move up to Leeds, how did it come about? Did you get in touch with the Leeds Triathlon Centre and say, hey, I want to come up, or what happened?
I can't even remember how it happened, actually, now.
It's such a whirlwind.
It was. It all happened so quickly. I think I'd been speaking to Malcolm a little bit, and I was still humming and hawing about whether I should come up and like what I wanted to do. And I'd already signed up for another year of work at this point, so, you know, I'd kind of committed myself to another year in London. But I went on holiday after Rio and had a long, hard think about what I wanted to do. And I messaged Jack and Malcolm and asked if I could come up during my half term at school, because I can't really take time off work to do that. So I came up in my half term. It's supposed to be a relaxing half term. It was the most tiring half term I think I've ever done. So I came up for a week of training. And it was tough, but I just loved it, every second of it. So I hadn't told the coaches at this point, but I knew I would enjoy it. So I decided to hand my notice in at work before half term, because I had to do that to quit at Christmas.
And how did that go down?
Not well at all, but did it. And and then so I said to the coaches, yeah, you know, I really like it here, I'd really like to move up. So they had a chat with the other coaches and, you know, said they'd get back to me and whether it would be okay. So it was a long 2-week wait, but they were very happy to have me. And then I was just counting down the weeks to Christmas, really. I had 8 weeks left of my job before it all got pretty real. And then I moved up to Leeds on the, I think it was the 9th of January. And yeah, still here. Must like it.
And how did you go about finding somewhere to live? Because Johnny Brownlee is now your landlord, right?
He is, yeah. So how did it go? I think he messaged me on Twitter and said, he wasn't at training at the time, I think they were on their break. He messaged me on Twitter and said, oh, that's cool, you're coming up to Leeds. If you need anywhere to stay while you're up here, let me know. And so, yeah, we kept in contact via Twitter, and I told him that I was, you know, I'd made my decision and I was going to move up, and he offered, you know, if I need any help or anything, then to get in touch. And I said I was looking for somewhere to live. Did I know anyone in the group that was looking for a roommate or, you know, a housemate? And he said that he had 3 spare rooms and I'm more than welcome to move in there. So I said yes, and I've moved in January. I hadn't actually met him before. I knew Alistair, but I hadn't met Johnny. So our first meeting was on the 9th of January.
Was when you rocked up with all your stuff, going, hi.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a fun couple of months.
And how has it been living with the younger Brownlee?
Yeah, great. It's good fun. Yeah, we take turns in making meals together, and yeah, I mean he's away just now actually, so he's away training, so it's just me in the house. But it's good. It's good to have someone who's, you know, pretty accomplished at triathlon in the house with me.
Not too bad.
No, not too bad.
Who's the better cook?
Me. I think he's good at washing up. But I think he prefers that.
Do you find that you do quite a lot of the cooking and then he does the washing up?
I mean I enjoy that. We take turns though. Yeah, no, I enjoy cooking. It's definitely it's something I enjoy doing, so I don't mind.
And is he a tidy housemate?
Oh yeah, it's very tidy. Very tidy. I'll give him that. 10 out of 10 for tidiness.
And how valuable has his support been over the past sort of 6 months since January, that the 9th?
Yeah, no, it's been really good, just even to ask questions and little tips here and there. And he even gave me some like tips going into my first triathlon, like not to go too hard in the swim, and you know, just things like that that you wouldn't necessarily know until you'd tried and tested it. So no, it's been really good, and yeah, I think yeah, it's been really helpful.
And the rest of the group, were they all very welcoming straight away with you?
Yeah, no, it's been like, as far as like, I've been in a lot of training groups and trained with a lot of different people, and yeah, the group in Leeds has been really great. Like, everyone's welcomed me, and I actually was invited along on a training camp with some of the other girls, and we went to Italy, and I really enjoyed that, and it just like helped me get to know them a little bit better, because it is different. Like, it has been a big change, and it has been hard. Like, even though I've put on a brave face, it has been hard, like leaving my life in London and my job and you know, my friends and my boyfriend in London to move up to Leeds. It's been a big move, but yeah, no, the girls have been really good, and even the guys have been really good, and the coaches, so yeah, really welcoming, and it's a nice atmosphere in the group.
And is Mick Wood, where's he based? Because he's still your athletics coach. It's like your running coach, basically, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. So I try and do a session with the group here in the track on a Tuesday, because it helps me out a little bit. So I train with some of the boys from the uni, the tri squad at uni, on the Tuesday night. And then on Saturday, because I kind of split my time between Leeds and London, I quite often go down, and if I don't see Mick or Steph or, you know, my training partners down there, I will do a session on my own. But like, I use Mick for the weekend sessions, so I'm still kind of best of both worlds really at the moment.
And let's go on to the cycling side of things. How have you found that, like, the whole thing from, you know, clipping in, clipping out, everything?
Yeah, so I think I've got enough gear now that I look the part. I can't say I... All the gear, no idea. No, I've got a bit more of an idea now. Yeah, no, cycling has definitely been the hardest for me. I spent the first couple of months trying to remember to clip out of my shoes. I think that ended with an embarrassing fall in front of a lot of people, so I don't think I've come off without unclipping since then, touch wood. But no, yeah, it's been hard, and it's just all new for me really, so I've had to learn a lot of stuff on the way, and I've been really fortunate that I've been able to use the cycle track at the Burnley Centre though, and you know, I've been learning lots of different skills. We have chain gang tonight on there, and we have a half an hour of skills beforehand. So I'm getting good at the dead turns and the, you know, the cornering. So I think it's just going to take time though, and getting used to it. I do find it difficult to combine the biking and the running, and I have had a couple of niggles from that. But yeah, I mean, it's a learning curve, isn't it? So.
Okay. So what kind of skills in particular would you cover tonight in that half an hour session before the chain gang?
So the coaches will lay out cones, kind of staggered, and you'll have to go round them, and not, I don't know what you call it, like sweeping bends almost, and you have to get round them just practicing, you know, going around corners almost, and then we'll do some dead turn practice, and then those are the only real main ones. Oh, and figure of eight stuff, we do that. Don't sound very technical right now because I don't know the words for these, but yeah, those sort of things. Yeah.
And then what about actually riding in a group? Because it's very different, you know, on a track or just out on the roads on your own. How have you found having to ride in a pack and at speed?
Yeah, so that's one thing that I was, before I went to Italy, I wasn't so good at, but I kind of made a kind of goal for the rest of the season to do that. So I've been riding with some like big groups of boys, so it's a bit quicker than the girls would go, I think. And just having like so many people around you, you get used to just riding on the wheel, because that's one thing I'm not good at, sticking on the wheel. Like, I am better at it, but it's something I find I really struggle with. So that's my main focus just now, and also getting into the correct gear for going around, you know, for coming in and out of corners. So I'm focusing on that just now. But it has been like really valuable training with big groups of people, because I get, you know, get used to having a lot of people around me, which is what you're going to be kind of in a race, aren't you? So
totally. Beth, it's so refreshing hearing you say this, because I know, you know, quite a few people listening probably have never done a figure of eight drill in their life, and you know, we all have cornering issues, and I'm definitely not the only person to, and you're not the only person to be not very good at riding on someone else's wheel. And it is all about practice, isn't it, and just gaining that confidence.
Yeah, like, even I've noticed a big change from, I did a duathlon in April, which was the worst decision of my life, I think. But I did
Why
that.
So?
Oh God, that was just so hard. Like, I started to like question myself, like, have I made the right choice? But luckily since then, things have been on the up, and I think it's because I have been focusing on these things, like these, you know, little tactical and, you know, bike things that have massively helped. And I did notice a big change at the weekend in Cardiff when we were a lot of dead turns in that course. And even like going into the corners, I felt I was much more confident than the people around me, just because I've practiced it over and over and over again at Leeds, just been doing it every single week. So like, I felt like I was much better at going in and out the corners, maybe not so much on the flat, but I definitely felt more confident, you know, doing that. And I think that's been from the practice that I have done here on a Thursday night.
Perfect. So it shows it's all working. I love it. This is brilliant. And then, right, Beth, what about your first major triathlon debut, which I guess was at Blenheim? How did that go? Talk us through your race there.
Oh, so beforehand, I was having a bit of a flat because it was my first one. And this is a big mistake. So people who don't do triathlon are new to this, please remember this, that you need to bring two pairs of trainers with you, because you need a pair to warm up in and you need a pair to put in transition. So I didn't have a pair to warm up in. And so I didn't actually warm up for Blenheim. So the little swim from the pontoon to the deep water start was my warm up. I don't recommend any of this, by the way.
So good to hear.
So I did no warm up for that. Then got dunked a couple times in the swim, which was fine. But I was actually really happy that I managed to get into a bike pack this time, because before groups have come past me in the bike and I've not managed to like latch on. And I think just having done the practice on the circuit, you know, I was a bit more confident to go with the pack. What else did I learn from that? Oh, also, always put on your front wheel yourself. I got my boyfriend did that for me this time, and I got halfway round the course and I was like, why is my brake really loose? And I realised he hadn't put the brake on. So definitely always put the front wheel on. I learned a lot of things from that race, and I took them into Cardiff with me, which is probably why I managed to get, well, higher up the podium this time. But just practicing all these things in training, though, even like getting good at running off the bike. I've not done enough of that yet, but you know, it's definitely coming.
This is
awesome. But I did enjoy my experience. It's a lovely place to do a triathlon, especially your first one, and I've got good memories from it now.
It's a very, very, very pretty place. And where did you come into T2, sorry, where did you leave T2? What sort of position? I mean, how much did you have to make up on the run, or did you not need to make up?
So I think the two Sophies were, you know, gone on the bike. But I managed to make up, I don't know, maybe a couple of, maybe a minute and a half on the girl in third. So maybe it was about 90 to 2 minutes behind. And I managed to make that up in the run, which I was actually unsure of where I was in the field at that point because they were so far ahead. I didn't realise that there was other people in front, so I didn't know what position I was in. I just knew I had to keep chasing to the finish line. But it was good to come off the bike with a pack of people this time, and I came off the bike with about eight people and could run through the field. So that was nice. That was good, yeah.
Yeah, and then Cardiff. So obviously you had learnt to take two pairs of trainers, and you had learnt to put your front wheel in yourself.
I have. Things went a lot smoother. Apart from, I've never done a sea swim before. But I did one in Italy on the camp. But I'd never done.
Doesn't count. That's Italy. That's Europe. Britain's different.
Yeah, Britain is different. So I'd never done one of them before. There's always a story to tell. I think my swim was quite good. I did struggle to get out of the water at the end because those ramps are really slippy. Yes. Really slippy.
Yeah.
So I struggled to get out, so I lost a couple of positions in that. And then on the bike I got into another good pack with the same sort of girls as last time. But there was a bike crash. So I learnt this time that you should always position yourself at the front of a pack to avoid that. I think the girls are okay. Three of them went down. But it just all happened so quickly, and you just don't know what to do really. But I managed to stay on two wheels just. But we lost kind of contact with the front of that group, and we had to work pretty hard for six miles, like half the race, to get back on. And then obviously run. I felt really good. I did start to panic when I couldn't see anyone in front of me. But then, yeah, I got there in the end, so it wasn't so bad. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed Cardiff, actually. It was a good race and good crowds. Yeah, and it helped that I took the win. So.
And did winning make you feel, you know what, I know it's a massive journey ahead, but actually, yeah, I am definitely doing the right thing.
Yeah, no, I think it definitely did. It's always good to be the best in the day, and I did enjoy it, and I think that's the main thing. As long as you enjoy it, there's nothing worse than doing something where your heart's not really in it. But I think for me, it was really enjoyable, and it was great to just win that day.
That's awesome. And in the sort of winning vibe for going into London, you see, and the Worlds.
yeah, definitely. It's good to be on the up, but I don't think, being realistic, I don't think I'm going to get a medal in London. But I'd be happy if I PB'd and came in a good position. I'm not sure what that position is yet. I need to speak with my coach. But once the rest of the teams have been selected, then I'll have more of an idea.
Will there be any other triathletes on the start line?
I don't think so, actually. I did a race in New York a couple of weeks ago, just a 10k on the road, which was great. It was organized by the New York Roadrunners, and we started just outside Central Park, and the course went round the top end of Central Park, and then finished up where the marathon finishes, and I really enjoyed that. And there was another girl in the race, her name was Sarah, she's from Italy, and she's actually a triathlete as well, and she's also not the British champion, but the Italian champion in 10k. So that was quite interesting having her there. She I think she does like more like 70.3
yep.
triathlon. Yeah, I don't think she's Olympic, but yeah, it was pretty cool having her there as well. So we were doing a bit of swimming together out in New York, which was fun.
Oh, that was brilliant. And have you spoken to, I mean, have you been in touch with Emma Pallant at all? Do you know her from more junior days running, or?
So Emma used to be coached by Nick as well, but we didn't overlap, unfortunately. So I Emma left Mick when I joined Mick, so we never actually got to train together. But I do know Emma, yeah, and I picked her brains a couple of times in Bushy Park before, you know, the triathlon word got out that I was wanting to do it. But yeah, no, she did really well at the duathlon that I didn't like. she won that, but yeah, I think, I mean, it's never going to be easy, is it? It's always gonna, it's there's a long road ahead, so I'm just looking forward to seeing where I can get to.
Has it been quite inspiring though, seeing someone like Emma actually progress to where she has now, doing so well in the middle distance stuff?
Oh yeah, it's definitely inspiring, and it's I get a bit excited thinking about it. Like hopefully I'll be competing in like some of the bigger races next year, and yeah, it's definitely all to look forward to, and I'm just excited to see what the future can bring.
That's brilliant. So goals for next year, we obviously have Commonwealth Games, Gold Coast. Is that the main goal, to try to get on the Scotland team?
Well, I've already run the 10k time for that. Yep. So I don't know how many places athletics have, but hopefully be selected for that. And I'm going to try, I might as well aim for it, qualify as an individual for the Commonwealth Games for Scotland in the triathlon. Obviously, it's a big ask, and I haven't even been accepted into my first European Cup. So, you know, I have to wait and see how things go. I'm just taking it day by day, really, at the moment. But that is my aim for the end of the season, and I've got until October to get that. So hopefully, just with a little bit more experience, I can maybe get that. But if not, it's not the end of the world. You know, this year was all about experience and just getting as much experience as possible. And, you know, if I can do that this year, then I'll be in a good position going into next year.
And what would you actually have to, how would you qualify for the Scotland team in the triathlon?
I think there's two tiers of selection. I think you have to either finish top six Commonwealth Games athlete at a WTS event,
yep,
or the second tier selection is a podium place at a European Cup, or top five Commonwealth Games athlete again at a World Cup, but within a certain time of the winning time.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
Yeah, I think from what I, you know, to just from the criteria, then I think that's what I've got to do. So there'll be a few European
yeah, cups on the horizon after the World Champs in London.
After World Champs, yeah. I don't want to risk anything, any injuries or bike crashes before then.
And then, Beth, sort of looking a tiny bit further ahead, is the ultimate aim, if it's possible, to try to make the team for Tokyo?
Yeah, it will be. Yeah, that's that would be definitely an aim, to make the team for Tokyo. But I'm going to have to, I don't want to get too ahead of myself. I need to just see how this year goes, see how next year goes, and take it one step at a time.
Oh, I love it. It's been brilliant. Beth, it's been awesome chatting to you. Thank you so much for your time. I really, really appreciate it. And so go on, talk us through tonight's training session on the chain gang. Who will be there, and what will you be doing in that chain gang?
So it's just a group of girls tonight. I'm not confident enough yet to go on the road. So we start drills I'll ride down half four, drills for half an hour, and then we'll get into the main set, and I'll do a runoff tonight as well. So second favourite session of the week behind track now, so it's getting there.
And has Johnny left anything in the freezer for you for dinner?
No, I've got dinner already. I've got some chicken ready for my post-chain gang.
It's all about being organised, isn't it?
It is. Time management and organisation.
Totally.
And training hard.
Yeah, absolutely. Beth, you've been an absolute star. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
She's brilliant. Good luck out running her at the end of a triathlon. Imagine the mind games going on there. She's been to the World Championships and the Olympics at 10,000 metres. Wow.
Yeah. So, Beth, really good luck for the world, basically. And then as you continue through in trying to bid to represent Scotland at the Commonwealth Games, also at Gold Coast, which is really just around the corner. So it's really cool. It would be great to see how she gets on.
Yeah, wouldn't it just? That's brilliant. I absolutely love it. Right, a couple more bits of news then just before we finish this week. We've got to give a shout out to Matt Turnbull, who's doing 7 iron distance races in 7 days, finishing with the Outlaw at the weekend. You can find out more about it, facebook.com/ironmatt78. And I've got to tell you this, I don't know whether you saw this, Helen, but the Outlaw organisers tweeted the Iron Cowboy. Did you see this?
Yes.
And said, this guy's going to be doing 7 Outlaws in 7 days. And he says, what's an Outlaw? And they replied, well, kind of like a non-branded iron distance race, only cooler. Yeah. And he said, oh, good. I thought it was like an in-law.
Yeah. Yeah, I did see that. It was, yeah, top stuff. Because he was inspired by that guy who did, what did he do, Rob? 52?
He did 50 Ironmans in 50 days in 50 different states. That's the thing that made it totally amazing. He was traveling overnight to get to the different states each time. So imagine figuring that into your 50 and 50, flying from Hawaii to Alaska to God knows where.
Nah, stuff that.
Yeah.
Well, good luck, Matt. And we will, hopefully give an update next week on that. Rob, in the meantime, I'm going to have to dash.
Cool. Well, listen, thank you very much for listening, everybody. You've been listening to the Oxygen Addict Triathlon Podcast. I'm Coach Rob Wilby.
I'm Helen Murray.
And until next week, have a great training and racing week. Have lots of fun, and we will speak to you all again soon. See ya.